first and 15 as Adrian gets the carry and is loose inside the 50, 40 to the 30, 20, 10. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Hello and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. What a fun week this is. It's Border Battle Week. It's our Minnesota Vikings taking on the Green Bay Packers. Game is Sunday at noon from Lambeau Field, and the pregame on the flagship FM 100.3. The Fan begins at 10 a.m. Each and every week, the show starts with head coach Leslie Frazier. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. How's Green Bay's offense getting along these days, Leslie? And by the way, good evening.
Good evening, Paul. They've got a high-potent offense. I mean, they're one of the top offenses in our league. They're led by an outstanding quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, who's the number one rated quarterback in our league. So with their receiving core and their ability to throw the football, they've got one of the top passing attacks in the league, and they've created some balance with their run game. Their running back, Stark, has done a very good job for them. Their offensive line has been kind of in flux a little bit with some of the changes, but they're doing a very good job of trying to create balance.
They lost their right tackle Brian Bulaga to the IR, so they used TJ Lang there. How has that affected what they do on the right side?
You can see there's a reason why TJ is the backup versus Bulaga, and that's usually the case across our league. It's hard to have the same that you would if a guy's a starter versus a backup. That being said, I think he's held his own very well. They're doing a good job in a lot of areas.
How do they mix in the run, Leslie? Because they've gone a significant streak of games without a 100-yard rusher. The quarterback arguably is the best in the game, and they like to spread out defenses and operate that way. So how do they run?
You know, they actually average over 100 yards rushing a game, a little over 100 yards rushing a game, which is pretty impressive. And a quarterback has a little bit to do with that. He's one of the best scramblers in our game, and he helps with that rushing total as well. But they do a good job in their one-back run game. Whether it's with the back offset or in the dot, and they do a good job of opening up some holes. But their passing game helps with that. It makes a lot of teams have to play two high safeties, which creates some running lanes for those running backs. So for that reason, their run game actually has improved.
Very interesting. And as many points as they can score and the yards they put up and how long they can hold the ball, I would imagine that helps their defense too. You know, not to compare them to the 98 Vikings, one of the highest scoring teams in the history of the NFL, but I remember the defense was able to gamble, and guys like Jimmy Hitchcock and Corey Fuller were able to jump routes, and if it went for a touchdown, so be it. We're already up 17-0. Mm-hmm. Do you see that a little bit with Green Bay's defense complementing its offense?
No question. I mean, a lot of games, they're playing with a lead, so their defense can be more aggressive. They can sit on routes, as you mentioned, and they got some players in the back end who can make some plays, Tremaine Williams being one of them. So the fact that their offense is so potent, it really does help their defense.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm going to bring this up with offensive line coach Jeff Davidson a little later. But, for instance, Clay Matthews most likely out. C.J. Wilson, the right defensive end, really good against the run, couple of sacks. He's a little iffy, too. Brian Bulaga, we mentioned him. He's on the IR. From a coaching standpoint, from a fan standpoint, we see and hear all that, and we're like, yes, some of their better players are out. But from a coaching standpoint, don't you have to guard against guys being out and then subconsciously players thinking, oh, great, well, their pass rush isn't going to be as good without Clay. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, somebody you've never heard of comes flying by you.
That's usually the case. So, you know, we're always talking to our players about that fact. I mean, it's still the National Football League. So if someone else is in that person's place, he's a pretty good player. There's a reason he's on that roster. So you can't feel as if, okay, I'm going to have an easy day if Clay Matthews doesn't play. That's just not the case. This is the NFL.
I'd never put an Aaron Rodgers comparison on Christian Ponder, but I remember when Aaron debuted on Monday Night Football against your team in 2008. Tightly contested game. And in watching Aaron all year that year, Aaron would look at one, maybe two guys, tuck that thing away and run, and he would run right a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, with Christian through 20-some-odd starts, granted, there are no blanket statements or absolutes here, but we've seen Christian, as a young quarterback at times, see something, feel the rush, and then immediately run. Mm-hmm. Do you see the correlation I'm making here with younger, inexperienced quarterbacks?
I do, and I remember Aaron Rodgers early in his career, and he gave up. I mean, he took a lot of sacks, if you recall, and a lot of it was what you just said. If his first read wasn't there, he was going to either tuck it and run, or he was going to end up taking a sack. Well, he's obviously matured over time, and the patience that Mike McCartney and the rest of their organization has shown with him has paid off, and he's turned out to be an outstanding quarterback. And we have to be patient with our young quarterback as well.
Aaron's taken a fair amount of sacks this year too. I think, in fact, it's 37. Is he holding the ball a little too long? Because normally he doesn't.
You know, part of it is the changes they've had on the offensive line, and part of it is sometimes, you know, you do see him trying to make a play and end up getting sacked. So it's a combination of the two.
With Christian, is one of the challenges at this stage of his career to get him to stay in the pocket and, instead of running specifically to the right, kind of sliding around the charging pass rushers, kind of like Drew Brees is really good at doing that, just sliding away from guys.
No question. Our coaches, Craig Johnson, his quarterback's coach, along with Bill Musgrave, they're talking to him constantly about sometimes just stepping up in the pocket a little bit, or just sliding to the left or the right, not always feeling you got to tuck it and just take off. I mean, just being able to have that pocket presence is enough sometimes to create openings for our wide receivers.
Is Christian enjoyable to work with? Because I would imagine, you know, viewing it from afar, he is. He wants to be so good so soon, and he seems like he has that side to him where it's like, yes, I know, you told me that. Yes, I did it. And I'm going to do it better next time. Is he like that?
Oh, no question. He is a pro's pro. I mean, he's a guy you love to work with. He can take coaching. He's not a guy who's going to bristle at criticism. And that's the only way you're going to get better. So he feeds off the fact that he has good coaches who want to help him to get better. And he will as time continues to go.
Leslie, what is different about Green Bay's defense without Clay Matthews?
Well, you don't generate quite the same pressure when they rush four guys as they would if he were playing. He's so disruptive as a defensive end slash linebacker that it creates a lot of problems for tackles because of his quickness and his speed and power. He's a very, very good player. So it's hard to duplicate that on their current roster, and he gives them something that they are lacking a little bit.
What about without Charles Woodson? How have they done?
You know, they've actually done some good things, but the thing about Charles, he's such an impact player with game-changing plays. It's hard to replace that. I mean, he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day because of his ability to get interceptions but turn those into touchdowns. So you may put someone else in his place like they have with their, I think, third-round pick, but it's not the same as having a Charles Woodson on the field.
When healthy and on top of his game, Leslie, what makes Jordy Nelson so tough to cover?
You know, he's a very good route runner, Paul. I mean, he does a good job of...
Good by the boundaries, too.
Very good on the outside the numbers. Does a good job with the double routes, you know, getting guys to sit down and running over the top of them. And he's a big-bodied guy. You know, he can really body you. And their quarterback does a great job with the back shoulder fade as well.
With Randall Cobb, you know, we've heard a lot all season that it's kind of their pocket Percy. They do a lot of things with Randall Cobb that you do here with Percy Harvin. When you look at Randall Cobb on film offensively, do you see that? Do you see some Percy Harvin in Randall Cobb?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing some of the same things we do on offense with Percy. They're doing it with their guy as well. So, you know, putting Randall in the backfield and tossing him the football to hand it off, that's very similar to what we do with Percy. So, yeah, I do see some similarities.
Those drop passes at Chicago bugged you, didn't they?
Man, it's just so hard, Paul, to overcome that. You know, it just kills drives, and it can be deflating at times, especially when you have the number of drops that we had in that ball game.
Speaking of being deflating, do you think the drops adversely affected Christian Ponder, where maybe he's inexperienced in his career and he just has to shake it off a little more quickly?
You know, it's hard to say, but it's hard to imagine that it wouldn't have some effect, although you want to be able to block that out and just continue to throw and try to put the ball on target. But if you get the number of drops that we had, you know, it has to have some effect on you.
It seemed like at Chicago, the left side of the offensive line represented pretty well, specifically against Julius Peppers. I know he had that block kick, but he had a couple of pressures that I remember. But overall, the left side, it seemed, when you were sliding that way, and it seemed like it represented pretty well.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job on Julius Peppers and most of their defensive line throughout the day for the most part. We'll see these guys real soon here, so we'll have a lot of things to talk about as we get ready for them. A
couple of quickies to close here with Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Let's get some updates following today's practice. Percy Harvin and his ankle, what's new with him?
He wasn't able to go in Thursday's practice. We're hoping to get some work out of him on Friday. We'll see.
Well, this thing's just come up tough, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's lingered a lot longer than we had hoped, but he has some pain and some soreness, and we got to work through that to be able to get him back on the field.
Are you expecting Kyle Rudolph and or Harrison Smith to play this weekend?
We are. They've both been cleared of concussions. We do expect the both to play and hopefully finish the game as well.
How do the concussion tests work? Like, say Harrison and or Kyle get one during the game. Mm. Then they come over there with certified athletic trainer Eric Sugarman. Mm-hmm. Is it a quick series of questions? I mean, what's the immediacy of the during game concussion tests?
Well, it's changed dramatically. I mean, there was a time when they just pop a capsule, let you do a little smell test and mm-hmm. count to 10 backwards or count to 5 backwards. But yeah, it's a lot different now. I mean, they take you off the field. They take you into the locker room. They let the doctors examine you. And then they make a determination about whether or not they're going to let you back on the field. But far different when you take guys in the locker room.
Eric Sugarman has been credited, and rightfully so, for the wonderful work he did with Adrian Peterson when he was here or when he went down to Houston. Mm-hmm. And I've said this to Eric before, too. Tell me if you agree with this. Eric's a conservative certified athletic trainer, mm-hmm. where the next 40 years of your life matters more to us than what's going to take place over the next hour of football. So if we're wrong and maybe it's not a concussion, we'll deal with that now. But he's very conservative that way, always keeping the player in mind.
I'll give you a perfect example of what you just said, Paul, and you're exactly right in describing Eric. I mean, if you had a son that was playing for a team that Eric was the athletic trainer for, you'd feel comfortable in knowing he's going to try to do the right thing by your son. An example would be in our ball game against Chicago, Harrison got dinged up a little bit, as you know, and he comes off the field. He's in the locker room. Eric is examining him, and probably about midway of the half, Harrison feels as if he can come back and play. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm ready to go. And Eric says, no, we're not letting you back out. You know, you've been concussed. You've had a concussion. After the game, you know, at that point, Harrison, he's a competitor. He wants to get on the field.
Absolutely.
After the game, he comes to Eric, Harrison does, and says, you know what? Thank you for not letting me go back in that ball game. I was not ready.
That's fantastic, because everybody wants to win every single game. We have jobs on the line here, potentially. Yes. You know, and to be able to see the forest for the trees with these individuals, because they'll try to talk themselves back into it no matter what the situation is, because that's how badly they want to play. And it's great to have Eric and his staff act like that during the course of the battle, because not everybody's like that.
No, we're very fortunate to have a guy like Eric Sugarman heading our athletic training staff. He's done a terrific job throughout his career, and we're fortunate.
Analyze rookie Jarius Wright's game. What is he good at?
You know, he's probably best in the slot at this point of his career.
Yeah.
He's a guy who can create some mismatches with his quickness and his speed at that position. And eventually he's going to grow into a very good outside receiver as well because of his speed and his quickness also. But right now, his ability to create some situations and then yards after the catch really shows up.
Is he a student of the game? Does he eat it and sleep it, or is that something that needs to come?
No, he's a guy who, and this is one of the things that really impressed me back in the spring when we had him in OTAs and through our mandatory minicamp. He's one of those guys who's a gym rat. He's going to spend a lot of time in his playbook trying to learn the offense. Even when he wasn't dressing, he was a guy who was on top of his responsibilities as a player. So he's going to be a very good player for us.
Thanks for the conversation. Keep everybody healthy, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, let's talk about Matt Khalil and the Minnesota Moving Company, the offensive line. Jeff Davidson is the offensive line coach, and he's next on Vikings Live from Winter Park. All across live at Winter Park. Welcome back. We thank head coach Leslie Frazier for joining us. Rookie safety Harrison Smith coming up shortly, and the adversarial update is provided by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com at the end. I'm Paul Allen, and we are now joined by Minnesota Vikings offensive line coach Jeff Davidson. Deep in the season here, 6-5, going to Lambeau Field. How do you feel right now? How do you feel about the offensive line, the offense, and what's going on through your mind?
Well, I would say that there's some things that we're doing well. I think we're right now, and during the week of practice, we pick apart the things we're not doing as well and try to focus on those and get better at that. And that's kind of where we are right now. We know that we've got a bit of a battle ahead of us here to be able to make sure we put ourselves in position to be one of the top six going into the tournament, and that's really what our thought process is, and that's our goal.
Outside of playing at Lambeau Field and against a team that potentially can put up a fair amount of points to make its defense either look better or put it in different positions, what are some of the toughest challenges against Dom Capers' 3-4 scheme?
Well, I think that they present a lot of things as far as blitzes go. I think they've got good personnel. We know that the things we work on with the rushers, the pass rushers they've got, they're good against the run. I mean, we basically consider them to be a top-notch defense, and we know that we've got to bring our A game to be able to score points against this defense.
Adrian Peterson has run for more than 100 yards 5 consecutive games. Obviously, a lot goes into that, but I would say the majority of it outside of Adrian's God bless skills would be the performances of your offensive linemen. For instance, in the Detroit game on that 61-yard touchdown run, Fusco pulls, did it perfectly. Sullivan gets to the second level, did it perfectly. Then you have Jerome Felton, the shoulder shake by Adrian, and there he goes. From a run-blocking standpoint, when a defense, Jeff, knows you're most likely going to run, yet you still run well, how does that take place?
Well, I think there's, we go in every day, and, of course, part of our meeting this morning is a focus on the run game and understanding what your job is, and everybody taking pride in just getting that done. And it's amazing how that comes together to be able to produce yards on the field, and I think it is that simple.
How do you work in unison with the offensive coordinator? In other words, obviously it's not confrontational, but if you see something and you think running the ball repeatedly is the right way to do it, and he may see it differently, how do you two work in unison?
Well, ultimately, Bill makes all the decisions that go into the play calls, and I think we do a good job of communicating in between series. I'm smart enough to know that he understands the game better than I do, and I understand that I've got to be able to give him my opinions, but I try to do that at the right time. And like I said, I think the best time for that is in between series.
The rookie left tackle, Matt Khalil, kind of carry us through the season he has had from the beginning to the middle to where we are now.
Well, that's a good point. I guess I never even really thought about going through that whole thing, but I know that the progress that he's made is immense. I mean, really, the guy's come a long way this year, and he's a good athlete. I don't want to undersell that. I think he's taken a lot of pride in his work. He prepares each week for the opponent that he's got, and we pay a lot of attention to the defensive players that he plays against, and that's the thing he has taken great pride in. He knows who he's playing. He's been able to change up his techniques each week, which is something that's really rare for a young offensive lineman. And I think it's helped him quite a bit.
Dumb question number one. In the Pac-10 at USC, do you see many 3-4 schemes?
You know what? I don't even know.
Well, because what I'm getting at is, like, last week, the standard cover 2, Julius Peppers, opposite him a fair amount of times. But in the NFL, there are so many 3-4s these days that I wonder, from a left tackle standpoint, how eye-opening it is when you get to this level, and now you got these 3 down linemen and the 4 linebackers.
You know, and it's funny you bring that up. I've never even thought about it that way. I know that there's a lot of preparation goes in each week. I know that I've never even sat down and talked to him about that. Is it something that's kind of new to him or not? I know that he's truly taking the bull by the horns each week, and he understands the game plan by the time we get to Sunday. So, I mean, I don't think that whether it's a 4-3 or 34 front that we're facing, by the time we get to Sunday, I think he's got a pretty good understanding of what it is we're trying to get done.
Outside of the blocked field goal and a couple of pressures that I can remember, Julius Peppers' name was not called much during the Vikings and Bears game. Did Matt represent well versus Julius Peppers?
You know, I think he had a pretty good game. He's held up pretty well week after week, realistically. But we also know that past performance means nothing going forward, and that's again something that I think he takes great pride in, is that everything that has happened in the past is truly in the past, and he's got to prepare this week as if it's a new opponent, which it obviously is. And, he takes great pride in his work.
What about that cliched rookie wall? You know, because this would be the time for Matt Khalil, Harrison Smith, Josh Robinson, and the rest of the gang. Do you see that with Matt, where now it's time to dig deep and find more for these final X amount of games?
You know, I think that with all young guys, you have to be aware of that being a possible problem. In truth, and we've actually just spoken about that recently, so it's funny that you bring it up. I don't think that is an issue. The guy, he's got great staying power, and I hate saying something like that without knocking on wood, and I'm going to.
Yeah.
But I know that, like I said, he's got great pride in his job and understands that each week, if we take it as people talk about it being a marathon as a season.
Yeah.
We talk about it being individual sprints. Excuse me. So, as you look at a 16-game season, it's 16 sprints.
Not because he's been in the league longer than everybody else. Charlie Johnson's been in the league longer than John Sullivan, but it's my opinion John is the leader of your offensive line. He's the man in the middle. I know he's a vocal guy. He has big opinions on things. What's it been like this year for you working with John Sullivan?
Well, actually, I hate saying this, but it's actually been a joy. I do like working with the guy. I think he's very smart in the way that he approaches the game. He does it kind of like a coach, and realistically, he understands each week that he's got to know. We put a lot on his shoulders, and by the time we get to Sunday, he's got a really good feel for the way we're trying to do protections, run game, any cheats that we possibly have within the system, and he understands it as well as the coaches do, if not better.
Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Vikings, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. The guard rotation at right guard with Brandon Fusco and Jeff Schwartz, what determines the rotation, like when Brandon plays and when Jeff plays?
Well, we've gone into each week basically saying that Brandon, in general, he's taken two series to every one of Jeff's. And I wouldn't say that there's any standard way that we've approached it. I try to go by number of plays that we've had in a series. We're trying to keep it right around that two-third, one-third. And I think this past game was the first time we really surpassed that. But it was really there was no reason behind it other than I lost count.
What about Phil Loadhold in this contract year? How's Phil performing this year?
You know, I think Phil's doing well. He's a guy that really focuses on his technique. I feel blessed to be in the room that I'm in because I do have a lot of guys that take great pride in their work, and I think it's important to him. I know that he's willing to anything that we point out as things that he needs to work on. He tries to focus on it that week.
Charlie Johnson's transition to left guard, has it gone okay?
It definitely has. I think that. With Charlie, when we see him show up on tape from tackle a year ago, and realistically, I think he's way more comfortable with the position at left guard than he was at left tackle, even. And he helps Matt a great deal.
And it was such a difficult spot for him. He comes to a new team. McKinney gets let go, and here comes Charlie, and he's thrust right into it with a new scheme and a new plan. That was tough.
Well, and I think that from the start, I think he understood exactly what it was. One thing that we try to do is communicate well, and we communicate well with the players and what we're trying to get done, what our expectations are, and I think he understood that from the start. And also, when we ended up drafting Matt Khalil, that was not a surprise to Charlie. Charlie knew ahead of time, and we communicated all the way through.
Jeff, last one. As a coach, how do you handle this? Say, for instance, this weekend, Clay Matthews, outstanding pass rusher, say he doesn't play, and then their right defensive end in the 3-4, C.J. Wilson's been pretty good against the run from what I hear. I think he might have 2.5 sacks. He's very iffy for the game, too. So from afar, we may look at it and say, yes, great, two of their better defensive players are not playing. But from a coach's standpoint, you have to, I would imagine, keep everybody on guard so they don't think, oh, great, Clay's out, then there goes their pass rush, because that's how you get beat.
We absolutely believe that. I know that they've got, as far as their personnel goes, they've had enough guys that have watched the way Clay Matthews rushes. They've learned from him. I would say that, what we've seen on the film, even in the weeks he has not been there, they don't miss a beat. They're going to have somebody in there that's going to end up being able to produce a pass rush nearly as effective as Clay.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and best
Absolutely.
Of luck this weekend, okay?
Thank you.
Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Let's catch up with Harrison Smith, the outstanding rookie safety for Allen Williams' defense. We'll chat with him next on the Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues throughout the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen, happy to be joined by rookie first-round pick Harrison Smith. He's a safety for your favorite football team, and this is the first border battle in the National Football League for Harrison Smith, going to Lambeau Field for the first time. Get a chance to take on the Green Bay Packers, and the safety joins us now. Harrison, Paul Allen, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. First of all, you've had a dynamite season as rookies go. Congratulations on that. And secondly, Lambeau Field. What excites you, man?
I mean, pretty much just the history that you always hear about. I played at a historic college at Notre Dame, and everyone's always kind of said that the playing at Lambeau's kind of the NFL version of that. So I'm excited to get up there and just compete.
Do certain stadiums, either collegiately or in the National Football League, from what you've seen through 11 so far, Harrison, do certain stadiums pump you up more knowing you're playing there, running out of the tunnel, the fans, the field, the whole thing?
I think for some guys it does. For me, not really. At the end of the day, it's still the same, you know, same dimensions as any other field. So it's you know, it's always cool to visit different places, but once the game starts, nothing else really affects, you know, how I feel.
How fast do things go during the game? You see things during the week of practice, and even though you may know something's coming because you do your film work and you see it in practice, just how fast are things during an NFL game?
Yeah, I mean, things are obviously just at a higher tempo, just everything. The players are, you get, you know, different looks at a different formations, and you might see it on film and it'll look one way, but then in the game they'll, you know, run a play similar but a little different.
Yeah.
So just trying to figure those things out on the fly, I think, sometimes makes it seem faster. But once you can kind of settle down and really believe what you see is when it slows down.
Harrison, have you seen any players this year where you saw them on film and you know, okay, this guy's good and I know what my responsibility is and I got to do this and this to try to slow him. But then the game started and you're like, oh my God, you're so much faster than I thought you were.
yeah, there's been a couple of times. Vernon Davis, you know, he's fast on film, but, you know, he's definitely fast in real life. Calvin Johnson's a guy, you know, he looks big and fast on film, but he's, you know, faster and bigger in real life. So those are two guys that, you know, you can see him on film, but it's not quite the same.
When you first saw Calvin at Ford Field, obviously blasted him in the end zone. And between you and Greenway with that hit in the middle of the field, you guys may have changed the course of Calvin's season, even though I know he's bounced back with some huge games of late. But when you first saw Calvin in person, was he one of the most impressive physical athletes that you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair to say. I think most guys would agree with that. But once the game gets started, you don't really focus on that. You just go play.
So you're saying that you don't stare at male bodies and analyze them for how well cut they are and their abs and, you know, like how the shoulders go down to the waist and everything. That you just play football, right?
Yeah, that's I'm going to leave that up to the scouts.
Or the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
This is Harrison Smith, rookie safety for the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, young man, physically, how are you with that thing by the sidelines? We got all concerned.
I'm good. I got cleared and everything. I'm all checked out, so, you know, I'm about as good as you can be at this point in the season.
I think you're one of the few guys in the National Football League who has had to watch games from the locker room more than one time this year.
Yeah, it's actually been a problem. but it's something I hope to avoid from this point out.
But after you got knocked out of the game, first of all, were you on board with leaving the game and going to the locker room? Because I know you being tough guy safety, you probably were like, bleep you and bleep him too, I'm going back out there.
I planned on staying on the field, but I guess they knew I wasn't completely in the right state of mind, so they decided to hold me out.
What's a good, and if you're not able to share this, I respect it, but what is a concussion test during the course of the game like, where Harrison gets dinged, we come over there, we look in his eyes, what happens?
Just kind of ask you some questions to make sure your memory's there, and check your eyes out, make sure your balance is okay, but you know, when you get a concussion, sometimes it's you can snap back and, you know, those things will be all right, but you're still a little off. So, you know, I think our staff just did a great job of holding me out.
Yeah, and you know what? Certified athletic trainer Eric Sugarman, and I would say this if he were listening right now, I've said it to him in person, he's very conservative. And you know what? I would rather have a guy like that who's conservative, because I've gotten to know Ben Utech quite well over the years, who used to be a tight end for the Gophers, won a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts, man. And, I mean, Ben went through some nasty concussions, and he kept playing, and it changed the course of his life. So you know what? If you can't exactly say the sun sets in the west in a second and a half, like you did say at the combine, and it takes you 2.5, then even though it's a big game, it's probably best for the rest of your life to sit out a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, those are things that, as football players, and you know, especially as young, like a young guy, you always want to be out there, but. You know, those are things that you need to think about, and you can't just always say, put me back on the field if everything's not right.
You did you have any recurring symptoms from it, like any Sunday night headaches or anything?
No, I had a headache for a little bit, but when I woke up on Monday, I felt pretty normal.
What's the week of practice been like, young man, for this border battle against Green Bay?
I mean, it's, you know, the schedule's the same as any other week, just trying to get the extra film work in, you know, when you have free time and at night.
Now, going against this Green Bay offense, specifically with Aaron Rodgers, from what you've seen on film so far, you know, and this is not to over-glamorize anybody, but of what you've seen, does this look like the best passing quarterback that you've seen all season?
Yeah, I'd have to say yes. You know, he's very crafty, very smart, knows where his guys are going to be at and can read defenses and see what we're in and knows where to get the ball, can look safeties off.
Yep.
So, you know, he can do it all. Plus, he's athletic enough to run. So he's an awesome player, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
But you like that because even though Aaron can run, he's not shifty like RG3. And if he opts to run, that's when you can get full run at somebody and potentially, of course, in legal fashion, just blast the hell out of somebody, right?
Yeah, I mean, even if it's in legal fashion, I don't know if you won't be seeing a fine for that.
Well, I mean, with you, it might as well put it up above $60,000. Why not? Christmas is around the corner. Why would you need money?
Exactly.
Defensive players love hitting quarterbacks when they cross the line of scrimmage, don't they?
They do. There's something about it that I don't know if it's like you kind of take it as an insult or what, just that they're running. But I think guys just kind of feel like a bull just running after that flag.
How's your pass coverage been this year, Harrison?
There's been ups. You know, I'd say overall we haven't given up a lot of, you know, deep balls, big plays. But I think we could do a better job of turning the ball over, you know, making those big plays on our end and changing the game that way.
Is the scheme conducive to the way you play? I mean, Harrison, Mr. L, Jamarco, we want you to take away these parts of the field. Nobody's going to get over the top. Is that conducive to who you are as a safety?
Yeah, I think you know, when you play the safety position, that's the number one thing is, you know, don't let the offense take the top off the defense. And then, you know, within that, you want to make plays and you want to, you know, be a physical presence. But really, it all starts with not giving up the home runs, and that'll always keep the points down.
JerMichael Finley, more of a receiver than a true tight end, right?
Yeah, he's a guy that can get open in the pass game, you know, smooth route runner, great hands, so he's a good player.
Who are your beloved Fighting Irish going to play for the national championship, Mr. Harrison Smith?
That's a tough call. I'm going to go with Bama just because, you know, they've kind of been there the past few years, so I think their guys are, you know, used to that environment and expecting to win, so I'm going to say Bama.
The speed of the SEC versus the spirituality and the discipline of the Fighting Irish. What an unbelievably cool game that would be.
Yeah. I mean, either matchup's going to be awesome. But I think, you know, it's going to have a huge national draw, and there's going to be a lot of people interested.
Do you think, you know, over the last couple of decades, decade and a half maybe, Notre Dame fell off a little bit? Do you think Notre Dame kind of lost that New York Yankees, Duke, L.A. Lakers-like mystique?
I would say yes, just because, you know, we were very mediocre. You know, we weren't at the top. But still everybody talked about us every year, and everybody just loved to hate us. So I think, you know, people were still interested. They were just happy that we were down. And now that we're good again, and you're starting to see some people jump on the bandwagon again. So you definitely got to be aware of those ones.
Harrison, fantastic conversation. I always enjoy interviewing you. The Vikings Radio Network all throughout the Upper Midwest, I'm sure, enjoyed it. Best of luck this weekend, man. Stay healthy and make something happen, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yep, see ya. That's one of my very favorites. That's Harrison Smith, safety for the Minnesota Vikings. I've had probably five opportunities to interview that young man now, whether it's on the TV show Vikings Game Plan, for an hour at an AT&T store, on my 9 to noon show at on The Fan and KFAN.com, or through Vikings Live at Winter Park. He's a very real guy. He's just a very smart, real guy, and you can kind of read between the lines with his answers, with the way he uses inflections in his voice that, you know, we're not breaking news here. Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, but like Harrison said, Aaron's very crafty. And you know, Aaron may be the most coveted player in the National Football League. I could argue, with all due respect to everybody involved, that if you lined all these players up in the National Football League and you could have one to start a team, that he should go first and that he would go first. And that's above your beloved RG3, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, defensive ends, running backs, wide receivers, the whole thing. The quarterback spot is so important, and Aaron is very, very good at what he does. I'll never forget Aaron's debut on Monday Night Football, his debut as the starter. After Brett Favre leaves, I believe it was 2008, Brett goes to play for the Jets. It's Aaron's money. And in watching Aaron in that game and during the course of the season, Aaron was a lot like Christian through the first X amount of games of his career, really even still now, where Aaron would look down the field for Greg Jennings or Donald Driver or whomever, and if they weren't open, he would tuck the ball away under his right arm, and he would run to the right side nearly every single time. But you would see some times with Aaron Rodgers where he would sit back, bounce around in the pocket, slide up in the pocket like the good ones do, and then you'd see that beautiful arm. And then the progression continued through 09, 2010, 2011. Now we're in 2012, and he's the Super Bowl champion. Aaron's ability to look at guys like Harrison Smith and make them think he's coming there or going slightly to the right, and here comes Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, or whomever, on a deep slant to the other side. You see, it's little nuances like that that separate the elite/great ones from the good to mediocre ones. Back in 2009, the one season we were privileged enough to have a good season with Brett Favre, we were playing the Baltimore Ravens, and, you know, it's a game that came down to the wire. Steven Hauschka, the former Viking, missed a kick wide left at the end that would have daggered our chances. But during the course of the game and leading up to the game, we had just heard so much about how good Ed Reed is. And I know Ed Reed is a Hall of Fame type safety. His interceptions, his pick sixes, they are that of legend as we go in our game, the National Football League. Ed is also a very willing and scrappy tackler, and he's been terrific in the return game and on special teams. But when you have a quarterback like Brett Favre, quarterbacks like that, the elite ones, they have a way of making even the best defensive players look mediocre or just good. And he looked off Ed Reed no fewer than five times in that game, maybe even 10, and Ed bit no fewer than two, three, or four times. And Brett made plays, because that's what the good quarterbacks do. They sit there in the pocket, and they look off players, and they don't panic when the rush comes in. They don't always sprint to the outside. They do like Drew Brees does or Tom Brady. They slide up away from the onslaught and the pass rush while being under duress. They slide away from it while staying in the pocket and keeping their eyes down the field. You know, that's something that still is a work in progress for our guy Christian Ponder. We saw it at home at Mall of America Field against the Lions. We saw it earlier in the season against the 49ers. But, for instance, in the Bears game, the pass protection breaks down more so on the right side than the left side. And there goes Christian running out to the right, cutting down half the field. And it's not a knock on Christian, because he needs experience. But he also can take a cue from Aaron Rodgers, who started his career doing the same thing we see Christian Ponder do now. And if Christian can settle down, stay in that pocket, slide away from the defensive players trying to crush him, and keep his eyes down the field while staying in the pocket, everybody is in play in the passing game, and the passing game will become better. We want to remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and Wobby. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com provides us with our adversarial update when we come back to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Visit the official Vikings locker room store for...
Alrighty now, wrapping up Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen thanking Harrison Smith, offensive line coach Jeff Davidson, and head coach Leslie Frazier for joining us. We're now happy to be joined, as we are weekly, by Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. This is the adversarial update, and as we've talked about all show, it's the border battle. We take on the Green Bay Packers at noon Sunday from Lambeau Field. And speaking of noon, my radio show on the flagship FM 100.3, The Fan, is from 9 to noon Monday through Friday, and tomorrow it originates from Buffalo Wild Wings in Elk River. Paul Charchian from LeagueSafePost.com will be there, as will Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com at 10:15. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page at KFAN.com. Good evening, Wobby.
Good evening, Paul. What's going on?
The Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings. Your thoughts?
Well, this is awesome. I mean, it doesn't matter what point of the season you're at. It doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter what's going on with both teams. When it's Vikings-Packers, it's awesome. It's a fun week leading up to the game, and it's an awesome game because as someone who grew up in Minnesota, you know what this rivalry means to you. You always want to beat Green Bay, and so we get to watch that unfold this Sunday. It's going to be fun. You've said it during the show. Lambeau Field is one of the coolest stops in the NFL. There's no question about that. It's football Americana, and it's a lot of fun to go there, and we're going to go in as underdogs, and we're going to go in with not very high expectations, and that's what we came into this season with, Paul, and we ended up starting out really well, and we have a chance to stay in playoff contention with a win. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think the Vikings are going to have a major, major effort on Sunday. I think it's going to be a great game. I can't wait to watch it.
I'm expecting the Vikings offense to not only score markedly more points than it did at Soldier Field, mm-hmm. against a defense that gave up 16.5 points a game, the 7 defensive touchdowns. We remember it all from last week. This is not to disrespect Green Bay's defense, but with all due respect, it's not in Chicago's class, specifically without Clay Matthews. I come into the week expecting the Vikings offense to score a fair amount of points. Do you?
I do too. And it's, you know, as you were alluding to, it's less about Green Bay's defense and more about the talent that we have and who's playing really well right now for the Vikings. It's Adrian Peterson. The guy has 5 straight 100-yard games. He has 6 on the season. He's leading the NFL in rushing by almost 200 yards, 173-yard lead over the second-place rusher. And so he's hot right now, and I think the Vikings need to ride him. We all want to see improvement from Christian Ponder and the passing game, and so that's obvious. We want to see that.
Yeah.
I want that to happen through the running game. You and I talk a lot about, are we going to pass to run or run to pass? I want to run first to open up the passing game in this matchup. Make someone stop Adrian Peterson because they're just not doing it. And I think the way this Vikings team is constructed, they're a physical group. The offensive line is run blocking really well right now. I think this offense right now is best suited to be physical, run the ball, bring the black and blue back to this division that's become flashy with really nice quarterbacks and big passing games. Bring the black and blue back to it and pound them with Adrian Peterson. I think this team wins by running the ball 30 to 35 times rather than passing the ball 40 to 45 times. The way we're constructed right now, I think we're a physical group that can run the ball, and that's what I want to see them do on Sunday.
And one of those very nice passing attacks is the lesson at hand, the Green Bay Packers. Packers. The passing attack is orchestrated by, in my estimation, the best quarterback in the National Football League,
yes,
Aaron Rodgers. You've done some extensive statistical and trend or mirage research on Aaron Rodgers. Take us through it.
Well, you look at their last few games. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has 3 picks in 3 games. That's unusual for him. He doesn't throw very many interceptions. He has a sub 60% completion rate in 2 of his last 3. He's been sacked 8 times the last 2 games. Some of these statistics and trends aren't going in their favor. They're 12th in scoring offense. That's unusual for them of late. 9.5 points below their scoring average the last couple games. So all that's unusual for this high-powered offense, but it's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. I mean, he's playing pretty well. The Packers are 3rd in drops, and their offensive line in flux a little bit. They're injured at right tackle, so they have to start their starting left slide, their starting left guard to the right tackle,
yeah,
play a backup left guard. So they just have to play better around Aaron Rodgers, and when they do that, they're a very hard team to beat. They're great in the red zone. They score at a very high rate, one of the best in the NFL. They're 60% run or pass, 40% run.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty heavy-handed toward the pass, but
yeah,
on first down, they run over half the time and they get 4 yards a carry. So, you know, this is a team with a lot of different formations, a lot of motions. We see that inverted wishbone that they run that's really good. Randall Cobb all over the place. So some of the trends are not working in Green Bay's favor coming off the last couple of games where they won a defensive battle 2 weeks ago and then they lost to the Giants last week. I think this offense is pretty good and they're obviously going to be pretty angry coming off that loss to the Giants. So Vikings defense is going to have its hands full.
What's the Vikings.com approach to roots for Vikings winning? Let's say Percy Harvin does not play.
Okay.
Roots to Vikings winning through the fingertips and eyes of Vikings.com.
Well, I think offensively, what we talked about earlier here is run, Adrian, run. Run them until they can't stop them. Throw Toby Gerhardt in there and make them stop it. You know, that's what Green Bay is going to do to the Vikings or to other teams is they're going to pass the ball until you show that you can stop it. So I think you run the ball a lot with Adrian. He's got the hot hand. Use him. And, you know, we saw Kyle Rudolph emerge here the last couple of weeks, and I think, assuming he plays, he's a really tough guy to guard. I think, especially once you get down to the red zone, you know, I think fans would like to see the Vikings run the ball a little bit more in the red zone, but when you're going to pass it in the red zone, Kyle Rudolph's a great option. Defensively, the route to win is to pressure Aaron Rodgers. This is a team that's given up the second most sacks in the NFL, but we can't just assume we're going to get to the passer. We couldn't last week against Chicago, so
yep,
we're going to have to win our one-on-one matchups on the defensive line. Jared Allen, 13 sacks against the Packers in 9 games. That's a nice ratio, and we got to get that back for Jared on Sunday as he goes after Aaron Rodgers.
Excellent work as usual. We'll follow your work at Vikings.com and see you tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, I'll be there.
Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Once again, tomorrow, for those of you in the vicinity, the Friday football feast on your home for Vikings football. The Fan is at Buffalo Wild Wings in Elk River. The radio show takes place from 9 a.m. until noon. We'd like to thank the producers of Vikings Live at Winter Park. The on-site producer, Jay Nelson. The producer at the flagship, Joe Nelson, assisted by Chris Carpenter. The executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. The executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network is Chad Abbott. And for all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings, the Vikings Radio Network, and the VEN, I'm Paul Allen, inviting you to the broadcast this Sunday. It's the border battle. It's the Vikings and the Packers at noon on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.